Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that your word is alive and full of power, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So teach us, lead us, guide us, bring us into all truth. You said, God, in your word, that you have no need that any man teach you, but that the Holy Spirit will do that teaching. So we rely on that to happen today in Jesus' name. We cancel the assignment of the enemy to steal this word is going into good ground to bring forth great fruit in abundance. I declare it, I decree it, and call it done in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's make a confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the word of God says that I am. I have what the word of God says that I have. I can do what the word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's word on purpose, but I'm not just a hearer. I am also a doer of God's word. And because I am a doer and not just a hearer, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' name, I declare it done. And everybody said, amen. All right, you may be seated. Let's go on our Bibles to Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians, the third chapter and the 20th verse. Let's go right there right now. If you'll put it up on the screen, we are studying the subject of faith. We are still there. We're still learning about faith. Faith is important to every one of us. We all use faith. You used faith to get here today. You believed that you would make it. That's why you got in your car, started it up. In fact, it took faith to start that car. For some of us, more faith than others. Some of you are still trying to start the car, and you're watching online. But thank God you had faith enough to turn that key or push that button or to be able to talk to your car, whatever you do to get it started. And it started for you, and you are here by faith. Now, last week we talked about that we should come boldly to the throne of grace so we can get some help in the time of need. Faith helps to meet the needs that we have. Come on, write that down. Faith is for my needs. If you have a need, you need faith. Faith helps with what you need. We talked about the fact that there's a prayer of faith. And if there's a prayer of faith, there's a prayer of unbelief. We talked about that God causes us to be able to receive by faith. But today we want to deal with what are you expecting? Please write that down. What am I expecting? What are you expecting? Now, if we have to learn how to be able to expect based on what God says, not the trends of the day that come across your social media, not the opinions of your coworkers. You shouldn't be listening to your coworkers to find out what you're supposed to do. That's why you messed up. You should be following what God says in his word and follow those things. So the question is, what are you expecting and according to who? What is your life based on? Is it according to your friends that your faith is locked in? Is it according to the things you see around you? Is it according to what happened to grandma or auntie or sister or somebody? Shaniqua and all info. All right, this is Juneteenth. I can talk this way. You know what I'm talking about. All them names, nobody know how to pronounce. You know they don't know how to spell them. That's all right. That's part of the culture. But see, the thing is that we have to have some expectations according to something that works. Now, in Ephesians 3:20, I wrote the book, Cast Down Imaginations, Take Control of Your Thoughts. But the first book that I actually wrote was The Power in You, on this subject at least. And it says, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, I want to help you today with something God talked to me about strongly. Because a lot of us, We don't understand that, first of all, it's now to him. This is the New King James Version. Put it in the King James just to chronicle that. It says now to him, but it says now unto him, small case. I like the New King James Version. Go back to that. It says now to him. Him capitalized is God. That is showing that God is not a man. We capitalize when we address God. Now, the Jews will not spell the word out. They regard God so much. They'll put G hyphen D. They leave the O out. They will not even say God. He is so holy. But at least we capitalize him. Now to him. See, we got to realize you are not God. God is in a category by himself. And when you come up in here, you're not going to just understand this stuff by your brain, because your brain is too small to catch all this. You need your spirit. The spirit man of you must be let go to go free to receive the things of God, or else you'll shut it down in your mind, because you think in your mind and in your heart. You believe in your mind and in your heart, because that's why some things you believe up here. Yeah, I believe that's happening, but you don't believe it here to where it happens for you in the spiritual realm. You can't get saved by believing or sending to the thought that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Oh, I believe that, yeah. You believe in your head, but you don't believe it in the heart, and that's why it's not a transfer to salvation. I call that a false conversion. You just assimilated in your head. You ascended in your thoughts to a higher way of thinking to say, yeah, God, Jesus died on the cross. You believe that in your head, but you got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And nobody knows your heart but God. Your pastor don't know your heart. That's why you can lie to him. He's just a person. But God knows your heart. You're going to have to give an account for the issues of your heart. Proverbs talks about guard your heart. It's talking about your spirit, man. Because out of your heart are the issues of life. And when you study, our first lady wrote the book on guard your heart. When you study that out, it is saying the boundaries of your life come out of the issues of your heart. That if you only believe you can only go so far, you will only go so far, because that's what you believe, because the issues coming out of your heart won't take you no further. That's why you need to hear this, faith. Because you have to begin to believe beyond what you see or what you even think. Because until you think higher, God's going to stay lower. Now unto him who is able, it's a person who's able. You're not it. Some of you won't catch this until you catch cancer. And you're going to have to trust God to be able to heal you and keep you from dying. I pray it doesn't take that for you. I pray that you believe God before that. Because the doctors have a knack about shaking their heads saying, ain't nothing else we can do. And when that happens, you have no faith. There is not a plan B if you don't know God. And young people and old people deal with this. I've done funerals for little bitty small caskets. And ones that take 16 men seem like to carry. All of them needed to be able to be covered by God to be able to get to the destination that they're looking for. Now to him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Now I wrote the book, like I said, The Power in You, and this is the scripture that God put in my heart concerning this. I was dealing with starting a brand new church, young man, about 33 years old, right on Pacific Avenue. We had rented school right before that, got out of school, got sick of that. We went into Brad's restaurant where they used to hold the full gospel businessmen's meetings in that restaurant. We rented that place. It was terrible. We tore it out and started fixing it up. That's just our nature. God has sent us people and things that are broken down. And we build them up and make them look good and act good. It's just what we do. Pastor Mishada. We were in that building, fixed that thing up so nice and all that kind of stuff. And there was a woman that was in the hospital at Madigan, the Army Military Hospital out here, the big one. And her nurse was one of our intercessors at the time. And she came to me and she said, Pastor Shorter, Ms. Shorter, there's a lady that's on the cancer ward that you got to pray for her. She has 5 children. Her husband's in the military. And she says, you know, the doctor says she's going to die in 5 weeks or so. You got to help her. You got to pray. You got to help us. And she said, she just got on my ward and they can't even really give her medicine much. She can't really stomach it very much. So they put it in a Groshon, which is a hole in your chest. They put the medicine in the Groshon, and they just dump it in her, and they really can't do anything. And she said, but I'm going to get her to come to church. And she brought her to church on a Wednesday night, and my wife and I, after service, she said, would you pray for her? I said, sure, we'll pray for her. And at that time, many miracles were happening in this ministry. People don't believe in miracles anymore, so they don't even ask for them. They don't even expect them no more. They just bump along and die. It's really stupid. But back then, people believed in the Word of God. They were strong. This is 1987, 88. So she came on that Wednesday night. We had just been going in that little location. Started in September. We had probably been going about a month. And on that Wednesday night, she came and after service, she sat down in her head. I say this all the time about telling a story. As big as, I don't know, a medicine ball, basketball. It was just huge. She had swollen up all over. And she came in and she looked sick. Her eyes were jaundiced. She was dying. And the Lord had given to me the Sunday night before that when this nurse came to me. She had told me that, like he had told me rather, after this lady said, I'm going to try to get her here Wednesday night. He had told me this scripture, to use this scripture, Ephesians 3:20. I hadn't written the book yet, The Power in You, but he gave me that scripture, and I kept meditating on that. And she came in Wednesday night after service, myself and my wife and one of my young assistants laid hands on her. I cursed that cancer in Jesus' name. That was Wednesday. On Friday, they had some specialists from Washington, D.C., from the medical center in Washington, D.C., you know, the big one in Washington, D.C., here that were cancer specialists, and a bunch of other doctors were having sort of a meeting at Madigan. And she had a regularly scheduled appointment on that Friday, and she went to that appointment because she felt something so different happening. She said, something happened when I prayed over her and said, the power in you. She said, power just went into her. By Friday, she went in for her exam, but she was feeling so much better. And they began to check her and check her. They called in all these doctors that was from D.C. And they started checking her and checking her and checking. I said, lady, you don't have any more cancer. She was healed. Ernestine was her name. Ernestine was totally healed within those 2 days because the power that worked in her by faith. I'm telling you that there's something that we need to change up here. And it's not the asking. It's the thinking. Now, God has had me write the book, Casting Down Imaginations, Take Control of Your Thoughts, winning against all odds, which all deals with how you think. Because remember, guard your heart, because out of your heart are the boundaries of your life. You are nowhere close to where God wants you to be. I'm talking about with blessings, prosperity, life. You are not even living as far as God's concerned. Some of you are relegating to wait to heaven to start living. You're supposed to live it up here and then continue when you get to heaven. And I don't mean getting drunk on Thursday night and getting sober on Sunday morning at 8:30 and going to church. You're so high on life that you don't need that mess. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Put my friend up here. A lot of us have a problem with dirty thoughts. And I want you to see what in the spirit God showed me this looks like. Could you put my buddy up there? No, that's not my buddy. Okay. But my buddy's coming. Okay, they're scrambling. I'll go on this side here so I don't block nobody. Because, see, we have to realize, can we get that? Okay, you got my buddy. We had it at 8:30. So our thoughts are what keep us from living what God has for us. Let me tell you how God told me to tell you this. He said, you can't think like being in a pig pen and expect to live in the palace. And some of us have pig pen thinking. We are thinking like we live in the pig pen. I'm not just talking about pornography, but I am talking about that. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about when it comes to believing God, you don't believe nothing. You're just like anybody else that don't even know God. You just go to church and warm up a seat and make an imprint. You're not really interested in the things of God. Now, this is not everybody, but there's too many of us. God wants you to not have pig pen thinking. He wants you to not think like you are in a pig pen. What should I do? I got 5 minutes. And a lot of us, that's what we have. We have these thoughts that they stink. If we were to expose in the spirit what we look like, we would be like Pigpen on Charlie Brown. He showed me that a lot of us allow dirty thinking, and I'm not just talking about drugs, alcohol, sex, all of that stuff. I'm talking about negativity against God, against the way to live according to the things of God. That we are to the point where we're in a pig pen in our minds. And God wants us to get out of this. Because it's not going to take you where you need to go. Well, you say, well, my thoughts are my thoughts. I can do what I want to do with my thoughts. Listen, I'm telling you now that your thoughts can be holding you back from the blessings that God wants to put on your life. It can be canceling what God wants to do in your life. You have been bought with a price. You are not your own. Somebody should have told you this before you got saved. I think we're going to start handing out disclaimers when people come up for an altar call. A disclaimer. This is what it means to be saved. You are no longer in control of your body. Your thoughts are now being regulated by God. God cares about whether you follow his word or not. You are supposed to be in covenant with God, so you need to tithe and give. You need to be able to make sure that you're treating people right. You're an example of the Lord. You're supposed to live your life right. You should be an example in the way that you dress, the way you talk, the way you act. Now, if you'll sign the bottom, we'll pray with you. I ain't praying with you no more. I ain't praying with you. All we got is another sinner thinking they're going to heaven. He ain't going nowhere. Did you ever get my friend? Yes or no? What the heck? What the heck? She trying. Okay. That's all I can ask. So here's the thing about it. We have to realize that it's not just what you ask. Your faith could be getting messed up by what you think. Because you asking one thing and thinking something else, and God's confused. Oh, there he is. Hey, bud. How you doing, man? Good to see you. I know you ain't want to come on because you ain't taken a bath yet. He was hiding. But this is how some of our thoughts are. God gave me this image in my mind as I was studying concerning this. He said they're pig pens, people. They're people that their thoughts are like this. But they come in with a nice suit on, got that nice dress on, heels, jacked up, you know, got the weave on. Girl, look at me. Shoot now, I'm ready. Okay, lipstick is in place. Okay, eyelashes are glued on right this time now. You know what I mean, ain't nothing popping up. And I'm up here and I'm just going for Jesus, but I got a pig pen in the heart. When he gave me this image, I went like, oh no, Lord God, really? Because see, you can't live in the pig pen. We have scriptural evidence of this and expect to live in the palace. You better start learning how to live in the palace here. That's why this is a ministry of excellence and integrity. You're supposed to come up in here and learn how to live and not go back out in the pig pen, start living like them hoes. I mean, those people out there. Oh, did he say that? Doggone it. Well, if there's hoes, they gotta be hoe mongers. Those that are looking for the hoes. And I hope they don't mix that with Christian. Oh, I just talk like y'all think. See, we gotta deal with this, folks. There are gonna be some disappointed people. You're gonna be going like this in the rapture. You ain't going nowhere. You got too much sin holding you down. You heard about the weights and the sin. The weights gonna keep you down. Well, I ain't sinning, but your thoughts stink like he does. Here's what happens when you get like this. I only got a minute and 23 seconds. Here's what happens when you get like this. Not only do people avoid you, because God says in his word in 1 Peter, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's the only reason why, because I am. You be like me. Yeah. And people don't like holy people, especially when you live like this. You cover it up with a nice set of clothes, but your brain, all you think on is what God can't do. A God is not able. He said he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or even think. So why don't you think higher and maybe he'll do even higher than that? He goes exceeding abundantly above. So you need to be able to be healed from cancer like Ernestine, where you think and believe I'm being healed. He'll go above that, which he did with her. He not only healed Ernestine, but Ernestine ended up with a ministry at Madigan at the request of Madigan Army Medical Center to be able to minister to those that were on the cancer ward. She would go in and pray for them to get healed. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. What are you thinking? The Lord brought back to my mind something that happened one time with us. My wife and I was at an event, and we left the event, and there was a lady. All the ladies put their purses in the same place. They were safe there, but there was a lady that had the same kind of purse as my wife had, and we had to leave early. So Kathy grabbed her purse, got in the car, and said, after about 3 minutes of driving to our house, I need to use my phone. She unzipped what she thought was her purse and put her hand inside and pulled out some stuff and said, this is not my purse. This is somebody else's purse. She quickly looked down, and I was driving. I said, what? Where's your phone? It's in my purse. I forgot my purse. I picked up this other purse. But in that purse, which turned out to be a pastor's wife's, were some cards that looked like baseball cards with risque women with their underwear on in this lady's purse. And one looked like one of the pictures, because my wife was like, did you see this? And she looked and saw the idea of who it was. It was a woman that was a pastor's wife. Put him back up there. You can play with God, but God ain't playing with you. He's not playing with you. She showed me this stuff as we're driving, and she said, oh gosh, I feel like this. I said, I do too. It's so gross. Woman looking like having sexual acts with herself on little baseball cards. Looked like the kind of cards you would trade with other people. And she put it back in there, zipped it up. We both felt dirty. Now, it wasn't ours. We were able to go back to the place and just go in there. And Kathy got her purse, put the other purse back. That person doesn't know we saw that. But God sees it. Maybe that's why it's not working so well for you. Ask him what it goes like. Last thing I'll say about this, I got ready to say it earlier. Last thing I'll say about this is very simple. Not only does he try to stay away from people because he knows his condition, people will stay away from him. People that don't want to live holy, even though they say they're Christians, don't want to be around holy people. They'll punk them off. They'll stay away from them. They won't come around them because this is what they feel like. The Bible says, such were some of you, but by faith, you've washed. You're clean now in Jesus. None of us need to stay like that. This, the house of God, the church, is God's washing machine. You need to come in here and get some Holy Ghost detergent. Get a little agitated when you hear the word. Come on now, we want to shake you a little bit. Okay? Get a little rinse at the altar call. Come out of the altar room. Nice, dry, all nice, ironed out, and ready to be seen by the world instead of running from yourself. Whoever this is for, I'll say like Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, you need to hear this. God wants to give you more, but he's not going to give you more if you're going to act less. Because for some of us, the more we get, the less we act like he gave it to us. You need to give God glory. One day you will. Whether you want to or not, you're going to give God glory. Every knee shall bow. And some will do it willingly. And are you one of those willingly ones? Because of your faith. And every tongue shall confess. Jesus, you are Lord over my life. Some will do it just with a happy smile on their face. I don't have time to develop this, but there's so much more we got to deal with. Take him down. I don't want to see him no more. Take him to the shower. Get him out of here. God wants you to live like you're in the palace. But like the prodigal son, we got to get out of the pig slop. God wants you to live like you're in the royalty of his house. And he wants to bless your life in a great way. It takes faith to do this. You have to trust God, believe God, operate in the things of God, and not let the world shake your tree. You've got to get to the point where the word of God is the final authority in your life. Whatever is said, whatever you decide, you're going to run it by God first. You're going to find out what God says in his word. You're going to find some people in order to be able to help you with what does God say about this before you make. God's word has to become your final authority. That's where you can build your faith. Say amen to that. Come on, clap your hands, everybody. My time is up. Clap your hands. Get excited. God's got much for you. He's got so much waiting for you. He wants people to be able to see your life and give him glory because he's blessed your life like he's done my life. I give him praise and honor and glory.